Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
More than two dozen CEOs of Massachusetts high-tech firms are urging state lawmakers to ban so-called non-compete agreements. These are employment contracts that prevent employees who leave companies from working for competitors for a period of time. The New England Venture Capital Association delivered a petition to Beacon Hill today that says to encourage innovation and job growth, non-competes need to go.
Governor Deval Patrick agrees. A key part of his economic plan, unveiled a couple of weeks ago, calls for doing away with non-compete agreements. Critics say non-competes slow down innovation and shackle the economy, but supporters say they protect intellectual property.
Two views now on non-compete agreements. First, from Greg Bialecki. He's the Secretary of Housing and Economic Development here in Massachusetts. And Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So why does the governor want to ban non-compete agreements in Massachusetts?
Well, the number one reason is we want this to be a place where the best talent wants to be. For young talent that has a lot of options, they want the ability not only to go to a great job, but to have a chance to pursue their ambitions and their dreams. And that means moving from company to company. It also means if they have a brilliant idea, they want to start their own company. And working or being required to work at a place, we think is really discouraging the best talent from wanting to be here and stay here.
Now, supporters of non-compete agreements, as we mentioned in the introduction, say that they help protect intellectual property of companies and that preventing employees from just waiting a certain amount of time before they jump in and go to work for a competitor or start up a competing company is an effective way of protecting that intellectual property. Are they wrong about that?
Well, it's sort of killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer, because there's lots of other ways to protect intellectual property, including, as the governor proposes, to adopt the Uniform Trade Secrets Act that 47 other states have already adopted. We don't have to speculate about what's going to happen. We have the case of California, which doesn't have non-competes, has other tools to protect intellectual property. There's no one that's complaining about how California is a bad place for a tech company to grow their business.
Now, as you know, people who are in favor of non-compete agreements, and we'll be hearing from one in just a moment, they'll push back on that California argument by saying that statewide unemployment in California was 12.3% in 2010, and that part of what they point to is the unique legal structure, which they say negatively affects research productivity there, and that maybe trying to be like California isn't necessarily the best way to go.
Massachusetts is a smaller, more compact state. We are more fully an innovation economy. The better parallel is not between us and California, but between us and the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. There's some things we do better than them, but any observer would have to admit there's some things they do better than us, and allowing tech companies grow big to scale, they're doing better than us right now. I mentioned one reason for non-competes is the talent. Another reason is we have a lot of great startups here, but when you're ready to grow big, when you're hooked into a good idea and you need to hire a lot of people really fast, it's so much easier to do that in the Silicon Valley than it is here in Massachusetts, and that's because of non-compete.
One of the arguments that folks who are in favor of non-compete agreements make is that non-competes protect small companies in particular, and that in Massachusetts, 86% of businesses in the state have 19 employees or fewer.
Right.
And so many business owners will argue that they just can't afford it if these employees simply walk away. What do you say to that argument about the need to protect small businesses in particular?
In general, we say that this will free up the ability of the small employers to grow faster and to get talent more easily, so it's a benefit to them. The major opponents to this legislation are the large companies, not the small ones. And in fact, since Governor Patrick's announcement, a number of our great small tech companies have begun to announce that the governor is right and they're not even going to wait for the law to change. They are going to simply abandon non-competes. And I think you're going to see that it's the trend. This is a law that isn't reflective of a 21st century dynamic innovation economy. Our New England Venture Capital Association is absolutely opposed to non-competes and is advocating for their abolition. So this is not the way an innovation economy should work, and Massachusetts needs to catch up with the times.
under current law, companies, of course, aren't required to use non-competes.
Right. They
can decide to use them or not. So an employee could choose not to go to work for a company that has them. So why ban them? Why not just give companies the freedom to do what they want?
First of all, this is a classic case where we need to create some rules that everybody plays by. And if you don't create some rules, then people are going to default to taking advantage of the tools that are available to them. I think a lot of the companies using non-competes use them because they can. And I should say, with respect to employees, we've heard many, many cases from employment lawyers of people who don't even realize they're signing a non-compete. In fact, it's buried in their employment agreement, or they clicked and accept yes. But there have been many stories of everyone from office receptionists to camp counselors who have found out that they signed a non-compete without even realizing it. It just, again, shows they're used much more widely than they even need to be. The appropriate thing to do at this point is to make a change to the rules.
That's Greg Bialecki. He's Secretary of Housing and Economic Development here in Massachusetts. And Secretary Bialecki, thanks so much for talking to us about this today. We're very grateful.
Thank you for taking the time.
And a different view now from Andrew Boddy. He's an attorney specializing in non-compete law and a director of the McLean Law Firm in Woburn. He joins us right now in the studio. And welcome back to Radio Boston. Good to have you, Andrew Boddy.
Thank you, Anthony.
So give us your response to what we just heard the secretary say, that non-compete agreements are putting Massachusetts at a disadvantage in terms of attracting and keeping talent in a growing innovation economy.
Okay. Well, there's a great quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, which is, the life of the law has not been logic, it has been experience. And I'm speaking from experience from over 22 years of handling these type of cases. But perhaps more importantly, I'm speaking as a former chairman of the Smaller Business Association of New England, which I was from 2009 to 2011, and as a soon-to-be, as of this Friday, a board member of Associated Industries of Massachusetts. And the reason why I point that out is business owners have come to me for years now and said, this would be a terrible idea for my company. And most of these companies are the smaller companies. And the reason why it'd be a terrible idea is the smaller businesses may be running on one, two, or three different products. And mm-hmm. if they lose just one, that could be enough to put them under. There was a case recently where a company had developed at great cost and expense a very high-tech product that was used to view, say, X-rays worldwide, and their top sales guy left, went to a much bigger competitor, took all the IP, and what was the much bigger competitor going to do? They were going to give away that product as an adjunct to their own products. Now, obviously, that would have been the death knell of the smaller company that had developed the IP. If you look at the unemployment figures, okay, other than maybe the weather. We do not want to be like California. The Silicon Valley unemployment figures, which you can get, have been much higher in the last few years than not only the rest of the country, but certainly Mass and Texas and some of these other research places.
But do you attribute that to the to non-compete agreements that are used out there? I mean, higher unemployment?
No. What I'm saying is they don't use non-competes in California, and the argument has been that if you do away with them, you're going to have better
right.
employment.
Yep.
It's just not the case. If you look at the facts and the figures, they're not. They're not helping the employment situation in California. That's number one. Number two, companies are running out of California in droves. Toyota, North America, just recently said, we're getting out of California, we're going to Texas. A couple of months ago, Occidental Petroleum, another multi-billion dollar company, said, we're getting out of California, we're going to Texas. The reason is there's less regulation. This particular bill that the governor has filed makes an assumption that one size fits all, and that's not the case. It's like passing a law that says everyone has to have blue hair. Okay, well, blue hair is great on some people; it's not good on many.
But Secretary Bialecki, he used this term. It's like killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer. And he made the point that companies can protect themselves with non-solicitation and non-disclosure agreements. And furthermore, he suggested, as the governor has, that we could adopt the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, which 47
right.
other states have.
Right.
Why not go down that road and use that approach?
Well, what's interesting about the Uniform Trade Secrets Act is the 47 states that have adopted it, they also enforce non-competes. Mm. So it's not an either-or situation, number one. Number two, The definition of misappropriation under the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, it's 120 words long. So that's a lawyer's paradise. It's a businessman's nightmare. Hmm. By the time that gets decided and defined by the courts, it's way too late. And if you're arguing that level of minutia and you're trying to enforce a misappropriation case, you've already lost the case. They're not as good. Confidentiality agreements are good. Non-solicitation agreements are good. But when it comes to protection, they don't offer the full measure of protection. Confidentiality agreement, you can't unring a bell. If somebody leaves your company and they go to a competitor and they just orally tell, one of their sales colleagues, hey, guess what? My ex-company, they're pricing things out at a 40% margin. Well, now that's out there. How are you going to get it back?
Well, let me ask you this, because in this petition presented to Beacon Hill lawmakers today, members of the New England Venture Capital Association wrote this, that non-competes force talented people to stay put rather than to go out and start new companies, and that they have a chilling effect on innovation. Now that's an argument from a group that represents thousands of innovation workers in the state, dozens of small companies. Are they wrong by that?
I think they are wrong for a number of reasons. One is, by their terms, these agreements are typically a year long. Okay, yep. At any given time, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of these agreements that are expiring by their own terms. And that means the person can go and do what they want. So it's not like everyone signed these things a year ago and now there were, half a million people that are unemployed because they
can't. So it's just a question of waiting a little bit. Yeah,
it's a question of waiting. But you know what? It's also a self-regulating area of the law. And I say that because Mr. Bialecki is correct that companies can decide on their own whether they need these or not. And they do. iRobot is probably a great example. They don't really use them the way a lot of other companies do. Some companies feel like they need them. They will use them. EMC is a good example of a company that, that does use them and will enforce them. But it's really and should be up to the individual business to decide whether this is necessary.
All right, Andrew Bode, we got to leave it there because of time. But thank you for coming in and offering the other side of this important debate.
Thank you very much.
That's Andrew Bode. He's an attorney specializing in non-compete law and a director at the McLean Law Firm in Woburn.
Well, stay with us because when we come back, so you've decided where you're going to go to college. Now the question is, how are you going to pay for it? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.